Matthew, the 4th chapter, verse 21 through 22. And it says, "And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father." Everybody say, "Father." Let's say it again, "Father." "Mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Now, it's interesting to me because this is Father's Day, and it's a big thing to a lot of people. But the one thing that I want to get across to you in the culture today, there's somebody out there that says these words, "Who's your daddy?" They always talk about throughout the world now. They look at somebody when they find something out and they say, "Who's your daddy?" Well, I want to ask you a question this morning. I want to know, who is your daddy this morning? Is it not just Father's Day just for our physical fathers, but it's also Father's Day for our spiritual fathers today, because we're able to walk into the house of God and we're able to lift our hands to Him and we're able to say, "God, it doesn't matter what hell has for me on this earth. I love you so much, God. I give you everything I've got because you drew me out of the muck and the mire of sin and you raised me up and you were able, God, to give me a new life and a new creature." And I'm telling you, God, today that my physical daddy's a good guy, but my spiritual daddy is the best thing going. His name is Jehovah. His name is Jehovah Jireh. His name is Jesus, whatever you want to call him. Today is Father's Day and I want to ask you a question. Who is your daddy? Who is your daddy? You know, when James and John were on the boats, Brother Jordan, they were on the boats with their daddy. They were doing the work that their daddy had for them to do, and they were trying to do the things that their daddy wanted them to do. But yet there was somebody that was calling them a little bit higher. There was somebody a little bit more powerful than just their daddy saying, "Hey, I need you to come unto me. I need you to come and be with me." And there was somebody out there on the coast that maybe their daddy didn't even know. But then when they heard the voice of their real daddy, it says that they left immediately. And not only that, but they left their father behind. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If I was the daddy, I probably would have pulled out a whooping stick and started whooping on my boys. One, because they left me mending all the nets by myself. Amen? They left the nets unmended. The second thing is, I love my boys, and I don't want my boys going anywhere. I want them to be right there with me. I don't care until they're 75. They're going to be, if I have to move, they'll move closer to me. We're going to put a little convent right out here. Have some trailers lined up. Pops, y'all welcome to put one there if you want to. But I would be a little upset because I wouldn't want my children to go too far away from me. But they realized who their daddy was. Yeah, their physical daddy had taken some time and they had gone through raising him and providing for them. But there was somebody with a higher power that was calling them to do something just a little bit different. In 1 Kings 18th chapter in verse 21 through 24... it says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long have you been between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I alone remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And that God that answered by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." I want to stop there, church, because this is a very important story in everybody's lives. There was Elijah on the top of Mount Carmel. He was surrounded by the enemy. It seemed like there was to one person. He said there was 450 prophets of Baal to the one prophet of God. And he said, "Look, we're going to take it and we're going to slice up the bullocks and we're going to take the fire and we're going to build an altar and we're going to do these things, and whichever God answers by fire, I want you to know that he's going to be the real God." Every one of the people there said, "That's fine with me," because the prophets of Baal really believed that their daddy, that their Lord, that their God was going to come back and answer by fire. But Elijah knew something inside of him more than the prophets of Baal, because he knew a God that would answer by fire. He knew a
a God that one day would answer by cloven tongues like as a fire. And it said that Elijah went ahead and he decided to rebuild the altar. And when he rebuilt the altar, he showed them who his daddy was. So I've got to ask us this morning, it seems like there's only 15 or 20 people here in this building. It would be 450 people to one throughout Humphreys County. And we are standing alone as a one God, tongue-talking, apostolic, born-again believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name. And we're standing amongst the evil. I want to know how many people today say, hey, my daddy's the God that's going to answer by fire. My daddy's the one that's going to answer with fire and brimstone one day. That is the God that I serve. Who's your daddy? The Bible in Ephesians 4 and 4 says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Church, I want to ask you this morning, who is your daddy? You want to say, well, we know who the daddy is, Brother Manson, because I'm in church. Well, who is your daddy the days that you're down and you're depressed and you're all beside yourself and you can't worry about anything because you got all these other problems? Who is your daddy then? Who is your daddy the days that there's no money in the bank account and all the things are going bad? It's real easy to say yes, because every time something bad happens to us, we fall on our knees and we say, God, we need you. And God comes running and grabs us up with open arms and said, I'll be your daddy today. All you got to do is lean on me. Rest on my chest. Lay down on me. I'll take care of everything. But what happens when nothing is going wrong? When everything is going good? When there's money in the bank and food on the table and people are being healed? What is going on? Who is your daddy then? I'll tell you, we forget about our daddy. I can tell you from my experience, we forget about our daddies. You see, my daddy, I talked to him this morning, even though he's not in church. Every time I've tried to call for him, he's always been right there for me. But the odd thing is that before I got the Holy Ghost, and before I got in church, I wouldn't call my daddy every time I did something good. But when I needed something, or when I was down, I would call my daddy up, and he would talk to me, and he would try to encourage me, and he would try to lift me up. But it's only when I needed something from him. Church, I need to ask you this morning, who is your daddy? Because it's not just your daddy in the bad times, but it's your daddy in the good times as well. It's not just the daddy when everything's going wrong, but he's the daddy when everything is right as well. He's the Father, that's the God. He's Jehovah. He's Yahweh, whatever you want to call him. But he's there all the time, because he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Who's your daddy this morning? Do you give more prevalence to the king of this world in your life, and by watching television and listening to radio programs and even getting on the internet and the books that you read? Or do you give more time to your Father in heaven that drew you out of the muck and the mire? I want to ask you this morning, if I looked at the life of your day and I looked at the time you spent communing and talking with the real, true Father in your life, or the time that you spent communing with the television or communing with the radio or communing with a book or anything that takes you away from the presence of God, if I looked at your life today, who would your daddy be? How much time have we been spent on our knees in prayer, praying for our loved ones, praying to our daddy? How much time have we spent reading God's Word instead of a Louis L'Amour or one of the other novels? How much time have we spent on our knees crying out before God of the sin of this world before we turn on a movie? It's whatever you want to call him. But he's there all the time, because he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Who's your daddy this morning?
Do you give more prevalence to the king of this world in your life and by watching television and listening to radio programs and even getting on the internet and the books that you read? Or do you give more time to your Father in heaven that drew you out of the muck and the mire? I want to ask you this morning, if I looked at the life of your day and I looked at the time you spent communing and talking with the real, true Father in your life, or the time that you spent communing with the television or communing with the radio or communing with a book or anything that takes you away from the presence of God, if I looked at your life today, who would your daddy be? How much time have we been spent on our knees in prayer, praying for our loved ones, praying to our daddy? How much time have we spent reading God's Word instead of a Louis L'Amour or one of the other novels? How much time have we spent on our knees crying out before God of the sin of this world before we turn on a movie? Church, I ask you, who's your daddy? Because you've got to ask yourself, who's my daddy? Where do you spend the majority of your time? Where do you spend a majority of the things that God has given to you? I'm going to even go as far as to say this. Do you support the church more than you support Fred's and Walmart? Do you give to the house of the Lord more than you give to a charity or a raffle or a garage sale or... I ask you this morning, church, because it's very simple for us to say, my daddy is God. My daddy, my father, is the father of Abraham, the father of Jesus. He's Jehovah. He's everything to me. He means my life. I love him. And then we get out of church and we prove otherwise. Because let me explain something to you, church. God is always aware of what's going on. Whether it's in your house, at your house, nobody around, by yourself, you've got to remember that God is everywhere at once. He's there. So who's your daddy today? Who is the daddy that you call on in the times of trouble? Yes, we know it's God. But who is your daddy when there's nothing going wrong? Do you just pick up the phone and do you say, hey, I just wanted to tell you I loved you? I'd be willing to bet that every one of us in this building, including myself, that the last time that we prayed, we didn't ask God for something. Or that every one of us in the building asked God for something every time we pray. How many times have we ever got on our knees and just said, God, I don't need nothing. I just wanted to tell you I love you. Because I called my daddy this morning. And he said, what's wrong? I said, ain't nothing wrong. It's Father's Day. I just want to tell you I love you. He said, well, I was wondering if I was going to get a call with you being ready for church. And I said, Daddy, I said, I'm I got a lot of stuff going, but I'm not going to forget my daddy. Church, we got a lot of stuff going in the fellowship hall. We got a lot of stuff going in our own lives. But we can't forget our daddy. We can't forget our father. You know, it's just something about when my little boy says, Daddy, will you? I say, you better believe I will. Daddy, I won't. If I got the money in my pocket, he's got it. Well, the other day, Brendan, he just walked up to me, Jordan, and he ain't done nothing wrong, or at least I hadn't found it out yet if he had. I was sitting down in a chair playing a PlayStation video games, what I was doing, baseball. And he just walked up to me and laid his old head on my shoulder and put his arm around me. And I said, what you doing? He said, just loving you. You won't talk about melting a 325-pound man's heart. I wonder, what if sometimes we just knelt down at an altar and we come and we lay our hand on the shoulder of Jesus and he looks at us and he says, well, what's wrong? What do you need? I don't need anything. I'm just loving you. Church, who's your daddy this morning? Who's your daddy?
like my wife saying, your daddies typically are the first love. They're typically the ones that little boys fall in love with the fastest, because they hunt frogs and pick up worms and throw the baseball and kick soccer balls, and they do all of these things. And if you're a little girl, your daddy's there to protect you, and you know as long as your daddy's is there, nothing is ever going to happen to you, because your daddy wouldn't let anything happen. Church, our daddy is exact. Our Father of God is the same exact way. God's the one that'll get down and get in the dirt with us. He'll get out there in the world as you're sludging through the grime and witnessing and trying to build His kingdom. He'll get right down there with you, and He'll pat you on the back, and He says, I'm right here with you. I'm trying to build the church with you. I'll give you the power. I'll show you where to go. All I need you to do is just go out and do it. And He's the same way with the females and the males, and He needs protection. He'll never leave us. He'll always protect us. He's always there. But we forget about Him. We forget about it maybe because some of the bad things that have happened in our lives, and we don't understand all the mess that we go through. Just like I taught on this morning with the dude that he went to Rome and he almost died, and we go through a lot of stinking mess. And a lot of times we turn our backs on God. We can look at people right now in the house of the Lord that we've called friends, that we call brothers and sisters, that have turned their backs on God because of things that have happened to them in their life. I don't have to name names. We can think about it. The jail talk. What you talking about, Sister Davis? They come to the house of the Lord and they do a little jail talk. They say, God, forgive me, and I won't ever again. God, if you, I will. God, if you, I will. And they forget about their daddy. They forget about the one that sent His own Son to die on a cross for us. They forget about the one that began this world with the one pure thought that I've got to create something that desires to be with me. You see, God already had the angels, and they're there constantly before the throne, worshiping Him, seeing glory to God in the highest. They were made for that very specific purpose of worshiping and praising God. But He created mankind, humanity, for that same thing, but with a desire to worship Him. In church, there comes a time sometimes that even we go through the things and the trials and the tests of this world, and we look back and we look at our budgets and we say, oh, well, they don't really need the tithes. Everything's going okay for them. They've got a truck and a van, and they've got this and they've got that, and the church really doesn't need money. And before too long, we make our budget out and there's no tithe spot there. There's no offering spot there. We forget about our daddy. Or maybe we go out amongst some friends and they're all drinking and carousing and smoking and telling jokes and doing all the things, and we don't stand up for what we believe in and say, hey, let me tell you about a God that I know. We forget about our daddy. But there's a story in the Bible that I want to tell you about. One that I preached when Brother Tyrone was here. It's found in Genesis. And if you want to turn there with me, it's pretty familiar. Genesis, the 45th chapter, in verse 1. It says, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither.
for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you of prosperity in the earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all house, and a ruler throughout all the land. Haste ye up, go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith Joseph, thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. Now, if there was anybody there that possibly could have turned their back on their daddy and their brothers, it would have been Joseph. Joseph had a dream, and we all know about the dream of how Joseph said, one day, daddy and brothers, y'all are going to have to bow down to me. His brothers got mad at him, and they took him and threw him in a pit. And one of his brothers pulled him out of the pit and sold him into slavery. They took the blood of a coyote or whatever that was out there at that time and stained it on the clothes, took it back to his father, and they said, Joseph is dead. So year in and year out, I'm sure that the daddy started crying and all of the things that he thought his son was lost. But yet there came a time to where Joseph saw his brothers walk into his court. They saw his brothers coming in and bow down to him. But the one thing that Joseph could not get out of his mind, he was glad that his brothers were there. He was excited that all of his family was there. But there was one person that was missing there in his life, and that was his daddy. And he said, listen to me, I want to know, is my daddy still alive? Well, church, if you're asking today, is your daddy still alive? I can tell you most assuredly, yes, he is. It may not seem like it when we walk into a church with just a few folks, but my God is still in the healing business. My God is still in the miracle working business. And my God is still in the saving business. And if you're wondering, is your daddy still alive? I can tell you, yes, he's still alive. Besides all the bad things that had happened to Joseph, all he could think about was that I have to find my daddy. Beside all the worst things that could have happened to him of being sold into sin and sold into slavery, all he could think about was, I'm glad you're here, but let me find my daddy. Church, every time we walk out into this world and there's some bad things happen to us, all we need to remember is, let me find my daddy. Is my daddy still alive? Yes, he is. And let me find him. That's what we've got to figure out. Who is your daddy? Who is your daddy this morning? Because there's a God that desires fellowship with every one of us. Now this is going to get touchy. And it's going to get sticky. So fasten the seatbelt down. When I ask who's your daddy, I want you to think about, who do you spend more time glorifying? Do you spend more time glorifying yourself over God? Do you spend more time working on yourself and your own self-image more than you do working on God and knowing Him and loving Him and desiring Him? Luke, the 9th chapter, in verse 37, it says this, and it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child. Now this is a man talking to Jesus. Now we got to remember, Jesus is God's only child. Jesus is the only child God ever had. Now, we're all sons of God now, adopted into His blood by Jesus. We know that. But literally, Jesus was God's Son, the flesh. And here comes a daddy carrying in the Son. Now, you get this. Here comes a daddy saying, look, he's sick. He's vexed with devils. Every time he gets going one way, he'll start gnashing and bruising himself up and beating himself up and cutting himself. The spirits have got him inside of him. And here's his daddy carrying, literally carrying in his arms, the son that he came from his own loins. He's carrying him.
to Jesus, to God's only Son. And then it says, and lo, a spirit hath taken him, and he suddenly cried out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him heartily departeth from him. And I besought the disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to the Father. Very, very powerful point right there. This daddy had gone everywhere he could go, Brother Earl. He had gone to the very disciples that followed Jesus, and they couldn't even catch this demon out. The daddy was concerned about this child, and he carried him to the feet of Jesus. And he said, Jesus, I've done everything I know to do. I'm leaving it in your hands. And while the boy was sitting at the feet of Jesus, the spirit started rising up in the boy again. And it says that Jesus rebuked the spirit, the unclean spirit, healed the child, and returned him again to his father. Church, that's what Jesus does to every one of us. The Bible says that the Spirit draweth. The Spirit draws them here, church. It's not me. It's not Jordan. It's not y'all. But it's the Spirit of God that draws them. We gotta go out and witness. But the Spirit draws them. It's basically like God is saying, look, here is a child. And he's sick. He's got all kinds of things wrong with him. And Jesus rebukes the evil and he heals our bodies, and then he returns us again to our Father one day when he calls us up in the sky. Because I know who my daddy is. Because there's a daddy that carried me. I'm sure my daddy, when I was born, carried me to the, as most fathers did, carried him to the nursery. And I'm sure just like when I was born, there was a father in heaven that was reached down and grabbed me with his miraculous hands. And he said, you're a new creation. I'm going to hold you, and I'm going to cuddle you, and I'm going to cajole you. And when you're worried, I'm going to calm you down. And when you're sick, I'm going to try to heal you, or I'm going to heal you. And when all of these things, but all you got to do is say, Daddy, and remember that I am your daddy. I'm going to close with this little story. Several years back, Pop and Nana took Brendan and Austin. We were still in Yazoo City, Brother Jordan, and they took Brendan and Austin to Texas with them. It was about a week long. I can't remember exactly the amount of days. When Austin was just a young child, they came back the next day. We were living in that little white house on the corner there. They came back, and Austin and Crystal were big buddies, man. They were huge buddies. And Crystal went to grab Austin away from Pop-Pop, and Austin wasn't having it. Austin wasn't going away from his Pop-Pop. He started wailing and crying and going crazy. And I tried to go get him, and he wasn't having that either. He wasn't fixing to go get away from Pop-Pop. Now, it didn't hurt me tremendously because I knew he had been gone for a little while. But church, I wanted him to remember who his daddy was. I wanted him to remember that I was the one that helped pay his bills. I was the one that provided for him. I was the one that loved him tremendously. Not that they don't, not that they hadn't helped us. I'm not saying that. I wanted him to remember who his daddy was. If I pass away tomorrow, I want my picture pasted in his bedroom because I want them to remember who their daddy is. Church, when we go out and we visit in the world, not calling my in-laws the world, y'all don't think that. And we visit in the world and we grab a hold to something that looks like our daddy, that acts like our daddy, that tries to be a lot like our daddy, and we get back in the presence of God, sometimes we shake our head and say, I don't want him because I like this other daddy a little bit better. And all God's trying to get us to do is remember who's your daddy. I want us all to stand. Church, I really want you to ask yourself today, as the day wears on a Father's Day, let's remember our Father. Not just our fathers, their physical fathers, because that is so difficult for many of us, the ones that have lost our fathers and the ones that they're lost and maybe the ones we can't talk to. It's just very difficult. But church, today we need to remember who our daddy is. Where do you spend your time? Where do you spend your money? Where do you invest all the things you can invest? If you look back on your life, that will tell you who your daddy is. And church, if you visited out in the world and you may have made some mistakes, there's a daddy that's still, it doesn't matter how many times that you say you don't want to go to him, he's still right there with open arms. And the first time you want to lay your head on his chest and he says, "What are you doing?" "I'm just loving you, Daddy. Lord, I love you and I praise you. You're so good. You are so wonderful. God, I could never, ever, with my little feeble mind, understand your infinite grace and your infinite mercy, Lord. I can't understand how great you are, but Lord, you are. You are so, so worthy of every ounce of praise that I can produce out of my body. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to be with us. Lord, let us examine our lives and figure out exactly who our daddy is. Because, God, I know who you are. You're the one that brought me out of darkness into this marvelous light. Lord, be with us and keep us safe, Lord. And it's in your wonderful name we pray. And the whole church said amen.